Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
We are back and we are joined by Kelly at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. Now, Kelly, did you break the bank at any of the casinos with your basketball bets? Or did you get destroyed like I did in my brackets?
You know, my bracket is looking like it's on life support. But other than that, I did really well this weekend. Yesterday was a little disappointing. I should have known better and stayed off a few games. But hey, that's why it's called gambling, right?
Now, do you have a team from each region still to play? Unlike me, who in one of my brackets I have Michigan State still alive, but in another one I never changed it and had Virginia.
I actually did have Virginia as well, so that is the only one of my regions that is not still alive.
Yeah, I think that we may not be the only ones on that one. Now,
you know, I knew they were a little banged up, but man, I was really disappointed in them yesterday.
No, how about Michigan State? The run that they've been on since the Big Ten tournament.
Catching fire at the right time, I guess.
Yeah. Now, which of these games, and going into the Sweet 16, when you have, you know, when you're talking about eight games, will you play all eight, or are you looking for the ones that will you only play a few of them? Do you know yet how many you might play when you,
you bet? So far, I've played four of them. I don't anticipate probably playing any more, but you never know. Lines change, things happen, so I would say probably four, maybe five at most.
I'm talking to Kelly at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. Now, Kelly, did you go to the? This is the game to me of the eight. This is the one I'm looking forward to the most. Notre Dame and Wichita State. Are you on that one?
Yes, I am. And actually, that's the game I'm looking forward to the most as well. I played Wichita State last night. It came out as a pick'em offshore, and I was like scrambling to get a pick'em, and the best I could get here in the States was -1 for Wichita State. And I already had to play it because it's going to get up a little bit higher here. Probably already has. I'm going to be seeing probably some late Notre Dame money coming in, but right now all the love is coming in on Wichita State.
See, the thing about them, they're both incredibly intriguing to me because they're both getting hot at the right time and they're both damn good teams.
You know, and cheering yesterday, obviously, for Wichita State, I was actually on them as well, but I kind of gave them, you know, a little bit of extra clout for beating KU because KU never wants to play them. So it was really great to see them come out in the second half and just play their hearts out.
Now, where did you stay away from the Kentucky-West Virginia game?
I did, and I am staying away for now. I think the line's right on the number. The line came out at 13.5. We're going to start seeing 14s really soon. Kentucky is 0-2 against the spread in the tournament, and not really that great of a, you know, ATS team throughout the season. I believe they're 50% on the number. It's just one of those games where I like this West Virginia team. I like Bob Huggins. But the reason why Kentucky's 0-2 against the number so far in the tournament is because they just didn't lay it on thick. They could have laid it on thick against Hampton, and they kind of, you know, in the second half, kind of took their foot off the gas. And frankly, that was basically what happened to Cincinnati as well. So for right now, I just wouldn't touch that game.
Well, see, what I would wonder about, though, is I could understand if you had a line you were a little iffy about if in the region championship, but wouldn't you think maybe if they were going to put it to the pedal or really put the gas on, they would wait until they faced the Notre Dame-Wichita State winner and sort of coast with West Virginia, assuming they could have beat them? I mean, a lot of people are thinking that they could actually lose that game outright or hoping.
You know, I haven't broken it down enough. I was really impressed with West Virginia last night overall. But you have to remember, Trimbley got hurt. So it was kind of, the final score was a little bit misleading. Without, you know, Maryland's leading scorer, you can't really say, okay, yes, West Virginia just, you know, completely dominated that game because they didn't until that point. I like this West Virginia team, like I said. I don't know. That's just, to me, just screams stay off. And, you know, maybe come Thursday I might change my mind. But as of right now, I'm too big of a chicken to play that game.
Now, we're talking to Kelly at Kelly in Vegas, and you want to follow her because she's going to give you good advice throughout the year, depending, no matter what the sport is. Now, did you take one team per region, or did you take two teams from one region?
Let's see. I took actually two teams. I'm on NC State, and I'm also on Utah. I'm also on OU. So those are the four games I've played so far. What? I haven't taken anybody from the Xavier, UNC, Wisconsin, Arizona games because I'm just those are, like I said, those are the lines I'm looking at early on, and it's just not something I want to get invested in yet.
Well, what's the Duke Utah? What is that one at?
It is at 5.
You like it Utah? At
4.5. You know why
to
I
cover?
Like Utah? This, yes, I do, because I think Duke is a really great team, and I think they've been flying under the radar for a majority of at least the last month. I know a lot of really sharp guys that have a future on them. Utah, I was giving them, I did the Fox Sports thing over the weekend. I was giving them a lot of flack on Wednesday night saying I thought they were going to lose to Stephen F. Austin, and now I'm eating my words because here they are in the Sweet 16. I think if anybody can give Duke a run for their money in that region, it is Utah. I thought, making fun of them once they get out of the state of Utah, they're not playing that well, and they have definitely proved me wrong. They took a Georgetown team. I mean, I knew very sharp people on Georgetown, and I said, there is no way Utah should be favored by 4, and they proved me wrong again. So I'm looking at them in this one. I think if the line hits 5.5 or 6, then Utah's going to definitely be the play.
Now let's back up a second. Kelly at Kelly in Vegas, kellyinvegas.com. Tell us more about Fox Sports.
Actually, it was really great. You had mentioned that I should be on there, and it was
funny.
I got a call last week and said, hey, we're going to be in Vegas. We'd love to shoot a gambling show with you on Wednesday night. And I said, that sounds awesome. I'm on it. And after Wednesday night, the producer came up to me and he goes, is there any way you'd like to join us for the rest of the weekend? And, I mean, how can you say no?
Of course not.
So as of right now, it was just a weekend thing, and it was really exciting and an incredible opportunity, and hopefully something comes about it.
Kelly, we've been telling you for years, you got to be on TV. And by the way, thanks a lot for letting us know you were on.
I put it all over Twitter every day.
Yeah, but the times you post, I'm asleep.
I should have DM'd you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me know next time you're on. I would have loved to have seen it. Because you have great advice, and I would have, I'd love to have seen you on TV. And Kelly, that's great news. And I know the fact that they came back and said, we'd like to have you on again, for the rest of the week, you're going to wind up getting a full-time deal out of this. And don't forget us little people when you make it to the big time.
I will never forget my 105 the ticket, guys.
That's great. Kelly, as always, thank you so much. Kelly at Kelly in Vegas, kellyinvegas.com, and, of course, Fox Sports now is where you can find her. Kelly, we'll talk to you maybe later in the week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Bob.
All right, take care. Bye. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk to Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. He's going to give us the breakdown on what these courts and these plea agreements mean with Darren Sharper, how he's getting away with just 9 years. And you said Louisiana is actually going to be 17 years?
20. Right,
20.
Yeah.
But I saw the one for 9. We'll start this out with Marsh, where he could be out as early as or have one of them done as early as 38 months. I want to hear what the earliest this guy could get out for the things he pleaded guilty to doing. We'll be right back with Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. We'll have him in again tomorrow live, but for now, we are joined by phone by Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense, to help us figure out why a plea agreement for a guy who's been accused of multiple rapes and druggings is getting off in 3 of the 4 states with no more than a 9-year sentence, and it could be knocked down, I saw in one report, down to 38 months.
Hi, Bob, by the way.
How are you?
Bab one here.
That's, by the way, Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense is our guest.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
No, I think what it is that he's getting, the deal as I'm reading it online is that he's getting 20 years on the Nevada case.
Oh, I thought it was not the Louisiana, it's Nevada for that. All right.
Yeah.
Because originally,
I misspoke. No, you're right, on the Louisiana case.
Okay.
So it's 20 years. And in federal court, you do basically 85%+ of your time. So what is that? He's going to do 18 years, whatever that would be of the math off of that. But the big difference is, though, usually with separate victims, you do them back to back consecutively. Here they're doing a concurrent sentence. So each of these other states is going to roll together. So you got a 39-year-old guy. So make him 40 years old. If you were to be convicted of these 3 charges, he'd be looking at 37 years that he would have gotten. You'd gotten 9 years out of Arizona, which is really 8. He'd get 10, which is in California, and he'd get the 20 out of New Orleans. So he did a deal where basically said, instead of doing 37 years in prison on these 3 cases, I'll do 20.
Well, you know, but he did plead guilty, apparently, from what I'm... Now, when we came on the air initially, it was only the 9 years that he was getting for all four. And then it's been amended, it seems, right? For Louisiana is now going to... They're hitting him with the full 20?
You know, I think they had the whole deal in place. I think the media just wasn't getting the... isn't privy to the exact details. So there's been massive discussions going on between the defense attorney and four different states, all probably had big conference calls and joint emails or whatever, to package this whole thing together into one big package. So he's going to still plead guilty in Las Vegas and get 3 to 8 years. I'm assuming that's going to be added also concurrent, so he's only going to get a total of 20 for all four cases before he's done. But, that, you know, we don't know that for sure, but I'm assuming that's the case.
Well, why? And just to help us navigate this a little bit, talking to Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense, he pleaded guilty by video link to sexual assault in Arizona, sentenced to 9 years. But today he also pleaded no contest in Los Angeles to charges of drugging and raping two women in the second of the similar criminal cases in the four states. You know, they're talking about the first one they met was Arizona. Why plead no contest? Does that make it easier for him instead of just saying I was guilty of that?
Yeah, in some ways it's a difference without a distinction. The bottom line is that they're allowed to still convict you. It's a matter that he might say, I deny I did this, but go ahead and convict me, kind of a thing. So in it, he's just doing it to get it done. And he's, you know, he's looking at 20 years in California alone, so that got knocked in half to 10. So they're taking the 10 plus the 9, the 19 years, and they're going to run those at the same time as the 20 years out of New Orleans.
And we're talking, of course, about Darren Sharper, former Viking, longtime Packer, won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints, and accused in four states of basically drugging and raping women. And that's why it just seems like it's he should have gotten life.
Well, yeah, and easily could have. So, but at some point you weigh the, you know, and all these victims too having to go through all this. And it's not necessarily a layup on all these cases. I think the Arizona case was probably one of the strongest from November of 2013. You know, they found that Sharper had a prescription for the sedative Zolpidem. And he, when they did the check of this Tempe, Arizona apartment after the allegations came forward from this woman, they found that drug, a residue of that, in the shot glass. And she testified that she hadn't drank all night long. She gets to the apartment. He keeps pushing her, at least have a drink, at least have a drink. Finally, she takes one shot, and that's all she remembers. Another gal also, I think, did shots, but she went off into a bedroom and locked the door and was not bothered during the night. But the fact that he has a prescription for that drug, it's found in the shot glass in the apartment, and the girl tells the young woman tells a story consistent with all that fitting together, was a pretty good case for him.
I'm talking to Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. He joins us every Tuesday, joining us today to talk about this Darren Sharper story and mess.
Now, so I think what they're doing is, you know, if you're sitting down as a defense attorney for Sharper, you're going, look, dude, you're 40 years old. 39, you're 40 years old. You can go down on these things separately, and you're easily going to get, you know, you get, well, would that be 40? They're talking 3 to 8 years on the one case that's left. So if you got 8 years, that'd be 45 years. So unless you live past age 85, you're not getting out of prison. So do you want to take some deal where you're out at age 60 and have some life left, and life doesn't end at 60, so you got some time left, or do you want to roll the dice and know that if you lose, you're going down on all of these?
Well, now, Marsh, talking again, Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense. As a defense attorney, you've been both sides. You were a prosecutor and a defense attorney. You have to be, I mean, if defense attorneys around the country, I'm guessing, are saying, boy, he must have had one heck of a defense attorney to get it knocked down this far. Are you impressed by what his attorney got, or is this pretty normal?
Well, I think a little of both. I think I'm impressed by it. It was a lot of effort to put it together. But, again, these other, you know, criminal sexual conduct cases are really difficult for the government many times because it's a he said, she said case, right? Nobody typically is doing this, although there's some of that where they're video recording it or that's in front of other people. But generally, it's a you know, a woman telling a story that this happened against my will, and the guy either saying it didn't happen at all or it was all consensual and now she's making this up because she wants to sue me for a bunch of money because I'm a rich pro athlete or something. So, and there's the emotional stress, the hassle, the guaranteed result. You put all that together, and at some point, prosecutors say, you know what, this guy's going to get at least 20 years. That's a hell of a sentence. He's going to be at least 60 before he gets out. Maybe we call it a day and we move on.
Well, the one thing I was wondering, though, is you, let's say you took him to Arizona and he had to go through the case. Where's he going to get all the money to fight it in three other states? I mean, what would it,
public, if he doesn't have any money left, he's going to get free public defenders in every state.
Well, yes, he would, but they wouldn't presumably, they're not going to be able to put in the time that it would take because they have so many caseloads that right. you would want to have a good defense. I mean, I think he's gotten a hell of a deal out of this.
Yeah, I think it's a guaranteed result. You're out in 20 versus risking 40, which is in effect a life sentence. You take that and go because, again, there's a thing called Spriegel evidence. We've talked about that before, Bob, where in your one case, you get to bring in evidence of other cases to show similar conduct pattern, lack of mistake, those types of things. So arguably in this, let's say the Arizona case was to go to bat first. In that case, they could still bring in all these women in from these other three states to say, you know what, I don't know any of these other women, and I'm telling you the exact same thing happened to me within a few months of this one. And you get that woman after woman after woman getting up from different states, all telling the same story. That's, you know, that would destroy the defense in this case.
Well, that's why I'm wondering, what was the incentive for these prosecutors, just to not have to litigate it?
Well, yeah, and that's a big just, though, because, you know, I always said I've lost cases I should never lose, and I've won cases I should never win. It's always still an unpredictable animal. It's at the end of the day. It's costly. It's time-consuming. It's emotionally draining on these poor victims that they have to come in from different states to be there and have to relive the moment. For them, there's a value of having closure to move on. They don't have to be put on the stand and have to go through all the stress and possible publicity that can come from that. And the guaranteed result that you're done. So you put all that together and go, yeah, we'll, and I'm absolutely sure that all these prosecutors talked to the victims and said, here's what we're thinking of doing. Are you on board? I don't think you're going to see any victim come forward and say, I was against this, and they did it anyway.
Now, Marsh, let me ask you this. Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. Now, you have obviously experience on both ends, prosecutor, defense attorney, as we noted. 100 cases, say. Of 100 cases, how many of them are offered plea deals? All of them? 50%? Say, I have no idea. I mean, I watch a lot of these shows, but you don't really get an idea. Is there a plea offer in every single one? Usually it's from the prosecutor making the offer, or defense brings up we're open to a plea. How's it usually work?
Yeah, there's usually a plea offer. Sometimes the plea is merely, you know, we joke to say it's really not a plea offer. It'll be plead guilty and go to jail for the presumed length of time. Well, that's no offer. I can walk in and do that on my own. So, but there's at least something that's there. And many times in court, a judge may even, before a trial starts, in front of the defendant and his attorney say, Mr. Defendant, I understand that you've been offered this negotiation, and I'm not saying you take it or not. I just want to document that for the file so that later on, after this trial is over, you can't say that offer was never communicated to me, or I would have taken it. My darn defense lawyer didn't tell me. So they'll publicly put that on the record so the defendant can't come back later and throw his defense attorney under the bus and say he never told me that.
But often there's offers of plea deals then.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of times there's, for all the reasons we've just talked about, time, money, hassle, guaranteed result, lack of stress on the victim, all those kinds of things, and the cases aren't all that tight. I mean, some of these cases are stronger than others. So, you know, you've got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. So for all those reasons, there are very substantial negotiations in many criminal cases.
And again, this is because, I mean, I'm fascinated by it, and again, we watch a lot of these shows, but when you get a plea offer, is it usually happen before it goes to trial or sometimes during the trial, depending how it's going? I mean, can it happen at any time, or is there a time when you often hear them?
Well, usually there's what's called a pre-trial or an omnibus hearing. Usually, once all the documentation has been exchanged, you've seen all the witness statements, the video, the audio, you know, any forensic evidence, that's when, okay, now each side understands the evidence in the case. That's usually when the most of the negotiations happen. It's before the day of trial. Part of the reason, another reason for that negotiation is if I'm a prosecutor, if I can cut the deal before the day of trial, I can free up my cops to go off and do their normal job or focus on other cases that are there. There's a real time and dollar value to having closure prior to the day of trial. I actually have had, though, a case where it was actually off in jury. Trial is in. Jury is back deliberating and talking negotiations with the prosecutor still at that point to say, before they come back, do we want to cut a deal or not? You can do it right up to the very last moment that the fat lady sings.
What was the resolution of that one? I mean, did your client take the deal, or did you just...
We chose not to take the deal. We felt good with where we were at, and it worked out fine for us.
Oh, so you wound up
we
not
gambled
being...
And,
oh, good,
yeah,
it won.
Yeah, we gambled and...
Yet they still offered it.
What?
They still offered a deal, even though they had to know themselves that it wasn't going to go well.
Yeah, but if I say to you, Bob, you got a 10% chance of losing, and if you lose, you're going down big time. Do you feel that lucky, or would you rather take a poke in the eye, you know? Take something less and be done. And all that, you know. So, and that's, I get that, you know. So it's a tough thing. But what a downfall for this guy. It's, 14 years in the league, and what, 8 with the Packers and 4 with the Vikings, and I don't know how many with New Orleans.
He had the pristine image.
Yeah, oh my gosh, and he was on NFL Network, and he played the part well. So
people wondered if he liked women when he played.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding about that. That was something that people wondered.
Well, I never heard that one. But maybe, I guess he didn't like women because he'd rape them, right?
Well, yeah, you know what? That's the point I was going to make. Apparently, he had a real disdain for him to do the things that he did.
Played the ladies' man, but did that. So it'll be interesting to see when, I guess, this Las Vegas plea, the fourth one, isn't coming up until next month. I don't know why the delay. They just can't video conference him in like he did in Arizona and get done with that one and go from there. So it's going to be a combination of both state and federal time. As I understand it, he'll spend part of his time in a federal system and then part of his time in a state system.
Oh, I thought it was just, he's not going to go right to federal, to a federal prison then.
Yeah, he's starting right with federal, but again, it seems like there's, in some of the stuff I'm reading, it seems like there's going to be some kind of mix on that. And I don't know if that's because they're trying to share the expenses of incarceration, because again, that's a,
Okay, because I came across a story saying the sentence will be served concurrently in federal prison. While everything else is figured out.
Right, and again, assuming I gotta believe this Las Vegas case is gonna still be part of that same 20-year deal, because otherwise, if that could be up to 8 more years, that gives him 28 years. Well, so round it off. That's a 30-year sentence. You're 40 years old. You're 70. At that point, he may say, "Screw it, let's go to trial." Because if it's a choice between dying in prison when I'm 75, or maybe rolling dice and getting out, winning one or two of these cases and getting out before I'm 70, let's go roll the dice. So you have to give enough incentive to a defendant to say it's worth taking the deal because the risks are too great to go to trial.
Well, Marsh, I, as always, appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you live in studio tomorrow. Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense, giving us an update on Darren Sharper. And if you know the number now, throw it out. If not, let us know tomorrow. How many federal prisons in the United States?
I don't know the number.
Okay, I was wondering.
I'll find that out.
Not every state has one, right? I can't imagine they do.
I'll figure that out.
He could wind up here, is what I'm getting at. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, Marsh. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. Bye.
All right, take care, Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense. Let's take a quick break, and you know what? I'll let you decide. Threesome or D-bag? What do you want to go with?
Let's go with the D-bag.
We'll go with the D-bag, and then we'll come up with threesome a little bit later. We'll be right back with several D-bag of the day candidates. We got one guy. What an idiot. Well, there's a few that were idiots, but we'll be right back with all that.
105 The Ticket, available on iHeartRadio. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. D-bag, D-bop-bop, D-bag, D-bop-bop, D-bag,
D-bop-bop, D-bag, D-bag. As you know, young Hellboy, we just talked to Marsh Hallberg, Hallberg Criminal Defense, about Darren Sharper. I mean, it goes beyond a D-bag police blotter with what he's done. But I just wanted to read to you and listeners what ex-teammate and linebacker Scott Fujita said about him. They played together in New Orleans when Sharper and Fujita were on the Super Bowl winning team in 2009 for the Saints. He heard about the deal that was cut. Prosecutors in Nevada and Arizona only requiring Darren Sharper to serve 9 years on the drugging and raping multiple women charges. This is Fujita. He was a great teammate, a great player. But all that aside, it's disgusting and beyond repulsive. Look, I'm a dad of three daughters. If he ends up only serving 9 years, it's an absolute shame. It's way too short. I think Fujita summed up what many of us feel. I mean, I'm just stunned that they did not... I give credit to the attorney for Sharper to get him only 9 years. The fact that he's walking away without spending double or triple that or life is amazing to me.
And coming from a guy like Fujita, who was suspended for the Bounty Gate issue, so even he's taking a look at this and saying,
"Well, he's
come on."
But
man,
those are so different.
Yeah,
what happened with the Bounty Gate and this. I mean, it's disgusting and beyond repulsive. He's absolutely right about that. And this whole thing with Darren Sharper, I mean, the number of lives that he has touched by this, I mean, the women who he drugged and raped, and when you in four states, and then the impact, the ripple effect it has to family members, and it's just, I mean, this one guy is just he terrorized these women and in many cases, damaged and maybe destroyed some lives by what he did. It's absolutely, he put it best, Scott Fujita, former teammate on the Saints, disgusting and beyond repulsive. Now we have this, actually, this sadly falls into that same category of disgusting and repulsive. The name of the guy is not someone you would have heard of until now. Joey Castleberry, a Bloomsburg University baseball player, got kicked off the school's baseball team this past weekend for writing something incredibly inappropriate about Monet. Is it Monet Davis? Is that how she says it? The young lady who played on the in Little League and was a great, great player, great pitcher. And he heard that Disney would be making a film about Davis. And he took to Twitter and he put, "Disney is making a movie about Monet Davis. What a joke. That slut got rocked by Nevada." What goes through some of these people's minds? I mean, he shouldn't have just been thrown off the baseball team. He should have been thrown out of school. You're talking about a kid that's, I don't even know if she's a teenager yet. Because most of these kids 13, are 12, 14. 13 at the most. Because you have to be, I think you can't be older than 12 when the season starts.
Yeah.
When your Little League season starts. There's no way she's 14 now. Not yet. They haven't started Little League yet anywhere in the country that I'm aware of. But it's, even at 14, I mean, there's no age where that's appropriate. So he is our, put it this way, he's our leading candidate for D-bag of the day. And they're also, now, we've talked about it. I think both of us, big supporters of police. They do a great job, generally. Sure. But, sure. Sounds like you might have been pulled over for something.
Nope.
Well, Nate Allen, remember him? We had the story. He's now with the Raiders now, defensive back, been with Philly. Detained by police in his hometown of Fort Myers, Florida in February after a girl called 911 to say she saw a man masturbating in a truck. Allen was arrested. Problem is, it wasn't him and it wasn't his truck because he had an airtight alibi. So Nate Allen is now, he wants to hold the police accountable. He's suing the Fort Myers Police Department because he's a fighter, according to his attorney, and he's going to stand up for this community and its residents to have a fair shake when they interact with law enforcement. I wasn't sure how I felt when I first read it, but I mean, how do you arrest a guy because he just happens to have a truck that's looked like the one that was seen? And the other thing is, I don't know if they ever found someone else. He just happened to, he was able to prove that he was not anywhere near where they said this was happening, and then they cleared him of all the charges. But I'm not in law enforcement. Maybe somebody is. 651-989-9105. You talk to someone, but to actually to pick him up and detain him because you think that he might be the guy because the truck is somewhat similar.
Maybe they should do a little bit more digging.
That's what I would think. I mean, and when we first talked about it, the embarrassment that it has to, it does for these people, for some people who would be arrested for something like that. So anyway, I just mentioned that. I was going to put the police, but I like police too much. So I'm not going to put them on. But I don't blame him though for wanting to get more exoneration. Although the fact that he's going to sue them about this, it's just going to keep it in the news. Some people are going to hear, they're going to be listening, half listening, and hear Nate Allen masturbating in a truck, and they may not realize the entire story here. But anyway, this Joey Castleberry, on this one thing, and I don't think we'll ever hear from him again, he's almost Hall of Fame status for what he did for a tweet. And people think they can get away with anything on tweets. You know what? That's something we need to talk more, and we touched on it last week. We should talk more to Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense about tomorrow when he joins us. This people think that they have carte blanche when they go on social media and post these ridiculous things. Now, the other thing I want, this is, by the way, so Castleberry is our D-bag of the day, our anti-D-bag of the day, and he's been it before. This Chris Borland continues to impress the heck out of me. You saw what he did, right? Other than retiring. He played 1 year, last year, as a rookie. In the games that he played, and it was not a full season, he led the league in tackles. I think he played from the seventh week or ninth week on. So he got in, more than half a dozen games. He has let it be known. He was on Face the Nation yesterday morning and retired last week. Just the one season with the Niners because he said he was concerned about what his life will be like years from now if he continued to play because of concussions. And he said he knows he suffered a concussion in camp training camp last year, and he did not want to take himself out of the practice because he was afraid he, you know, they wouldn't let him play and he would lose his chance to make the team. But what he's decided to do is he's giving back 3/4 of his signing bonus. He's basically keeping part of the signing bonus for the year he played and giving back the rest of it. That's nobody nice of does that. Now, the Niners could have come. What's that?
I don't need money. Here you go.
Well, but the Niners could have tried coming after it, but they would look bad.
Yeah.
If they did it. But he made it easy for him. He's just giving the money back. I do know this. He's not going to, certainly not initially, Chris Borland is not going to be able to replace the money that he would have made in football. But I would think this guy's going to have a long list of job opportunities waiting for him. Because people, everything he's done has been, he's done it right, he's done it smart, he's done it honorably.
I'm sure a pregame show or something is already thinking about offering him a job.
Well, at the very least, he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, that's good.
Have you watched any of that?
No.
Because I was just curious. I was going to ask you if Michael Sam's any good. Can he dance?
Go, 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 go!
It gets going.
It gets going. No, do you not? You haven't seen a bit of it, though, right?
No, I don't even think I've seen commercials for it. That's how much I try to avoid reality TV.
Well, some of the reality. You know what? I used to be into the Pawn Stars. P-A-W-N, not porn. Pawn Stars. But I haven't seen it in months, and I don't even know when it's on anymore. That's the only reality show I ever liked. Is it?
I don't know.
My kids used to watch it, but they haven't watched that lately either. Is the... That's the one where they all dress up in camouflage and they sell those duck calls, Duck Dynasty.
Ah,
I actually used to like that too. At first, I couldn't get into it. My kids were into it though. That was entertaining. But again, that's all scripted too.
Surely you can't be serious.
Surely I am serious. But it's do you watch any no reality at all? You don't none of that stuff.
Well, if you call basketball and football, if you call these reality TV.
No, it's
real.
As you aptly noted, some surreal things going on. By the way, with the SMU UCLA game?
Yeah,
with the goaltending.
Who's the writer for that one?
I don't know. That was not a good one. And by the way, we didn't mention this, but I wanted to mention quickly the Gopher wrestling team. They did not have any national champions, didn't get anyone to the national championship match. However, they had another top 10 finish, and it's still one hell of a program. Jay Robinson is running there. We are going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will be joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. We'll talk to you. Look, I want to hear how Jim's bracket's doing.
Probably better than ours.
I hope not. I hope somebody's worse than I am.
Nobody's worse than me.
I haven't looked. Are you below me?
Actually, I'm above Hardwood Rob.
Everybody's above Hardwood Rob.
Yeah.
He had a little bad run this weekend.
Yes.
Well, it's a good thing he's not. His expertise is not basketball. Oh, wait. We'll take a quick break. Come right back with Jim Suhan. We are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com, where you can find his podcasts. Jim, it seems like forever.
I missed you, Bob.
No, we missed you, too. Now, let me ask this. Who did we miss on your podcast? Because we haven't talked since Wednesday when we, because we played the NCAA games on the air.
You know, now you're going to test my memory, which is always...
We had Russo. You always have Russo.
I had Russo last week at the Liffey, and then at O'Gara's. Oh, I had Dan O'Brien, the Gophers' senior associate athletic director. So we talked about Jerry Kill, and actually Dan told me about his son who had a rare form of Nikon speech cancer who beat it and is playing golf now for his high school team. So that was cool stuff. And actually, I'm on my way now. Old friend Tom Lenneman. You know Tom Lenneman? You haven't come across him, have you?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, he played quarterback St. John's the year that Austin Murphy
Okay, I remember him, yes, but yeah. I don't know. Might have met him once.
He's the world's greatest character and storyteller and world traveler, so he's going to tell me about, like, living on $5 in Vietnam and surfing in Australia. He's also a lot of fun to break down football with. He's a very astute observer of the game.
Well, all those Johnnies are.
Yeah, exactly.
Those former Johnnies. Now, two-part question. A, did you do a bracket, and B, has it been destroyed like mine?
I did not, and if I had, it would have been. You know, I'm weird in that I find when I put something on the line, whether it's fantasy football or a bracket in the NCAA tournament, it skews the way I watch the games. I don't want my viewpoint skewed. I don't want to be sitting there thinking, okay, I need Northern Iowa to go all the way to the Final Four. I'd rather watch the game from a more objective perspective, so I didn't fill out a bracket. And of course, you know, I think in the paper, because I wrote about the bracket to begin with, I went ahead and picked my Final Four. It was, frankly, it was pretty safe bets. It was Kentucky, Arizona, Duke, and I'm blanking on who.
Virginia or Villanova?
I didn't have Villanova, but I had some, I think
Michigan State,
all like top three seeds. So I didn't have any crazy picks.
Okay,
but I felt like going in. Duke, Kentucky is the game everybody wants to see, and Duke, Kentucky is the game that everybody's going to see.
That's what I agree with that. Now, yesterday I'm watching and I'm pulling because I thought I had picked. I did too. The problem with doing more than one bracket is you change the winners. I'm pulling for Michigan State, thinking I went back and switched to Michigan State in both brackets. I only had them in one. So I was just tormented by it. I'm not going to do them anymore. Right.
I tell you what, that is a team I do root for regardless of brackets every March. I just love the fact that Izzo gets a team to play its best when it matters the most. I love the fact that it's a maximum effort team. You never have any question about the commitment of those kids. You know, and you know, I've covered some NCAA tournaments where I was in the same spot as Michigan State. And you know, I remember one year I was down, I think it was North Carolina, and like all of his players during the press conference came up to the podium and gave him a big hug and were, you know, just up there mugging with him. I mean, he's one of those guys who was, he has the ideal combination of toughness, sternness, and empathy. You know, he can be as hard as he wants on his kids, and they're still going to love him because they know it's coming from a good place.
I do like watching him, too. I mean, actually, if I had to make a choice, I certainly like him. And I don't know why I'm not a big fan of Coach K's, but I like Izzo.
You know, Izzo's pretty genuine, and he's genuine with pretty much everybody he deals with, including the writers up there. He's the same guy in all situations. Coach K is a great coach, and he can be very charming anytime he wants to be. He can put on as good a press conference as anybody. You know, I've talked to him a couple times one-on-one where he was great. But he can also be the guy who, you know, stares at the refs after a close game and tells them, you cheated us. You know what I mean? There's also a certain, with Izzo, you never feel like there's a sense of entitlement. You feel like he feels he has to earn everything. With Coach K, you kind of feel a sense of entitlement. Like, I'm Coach K, this is Duke, we're supposed to get the calls.
I am looking forward to this weekend, and we'll see how it all plays out. But the game I'm really looking forward to is Notre Dame-Wichita State. And the winner of that game faces the presume everybody thinks it's Kentucky something. It could be West Virginia. But you're confident Kentucky's going to win.
I think Kentucky is so tall, so deep, so athletic. You know, really, the question is, how are they going to produce? Are they going to produce points out of a half-court offense? And I think they're getting better as they go with that. So I just don't see West Virginia being a real challenge.
Now, I wanted to ask you, too, because you were at the we had Brad Frost in and Megan Lawrence, who scored, the crucial goal to make it 3-1. And the game yesterday, they won their third national title in 4 years. And I don't recall them. I covered the first two national championships. I don't remember. They cut the nets behind the goal?
That was the first time they had done it. It was yesterday. And I don't think it's the first time anybody's done it. I was talking to a couple people afterward, and they said they thought somebody else had done it somewhere along the line. But it's the first time the Gophers have ever cut the nets after a championship.
You know what, though? It makes so much sense. There's so much net to go around.
Well, there's so much net, and, you know, obviously the season's over. You're not going to use them again. It makes tons of sense. Now, what you don't have to do is cut it up into a strip and stick it in the front of your hat and wear it around like Brad Frost did. But you can, you know, when you win the championship, you're a little drunk, you can do that.
Well, he's still learning how to. They have never, like you said, they never cut the nets before. But between two nets, he got plenty of nets there.
Oh, absolutely.
That's pretty good. And that is, by the way, what I wanted to get to is, I covered their win against Wisconsin, then their undefeated season 2 years ago. I did not go to the Clarkson one, and I watched this one. He has one hell of a program there, and these young women, they're phenomenal. They can skate, and they can play.
Well, as you know, I'm watching from basically above one net last yesterday, and watching the flow of the game. Hockey scores don't always reflect what happens on the ice. There's a certain amount of luck and randomness in the way the puck bounces. But I thought 3-1 was probably as close, or 4-1, probably as close as Harvard was going to come. I thought the Gophers were bigger, stronger, faster, better skaters, better stick handlers. They would have needed, the way they were playing, they would have needed either their goalie to choke, which she didn't, she played very well, or just a weird succession of bounces to lose that.
Well, and as you're watching, though, their goaltender for Harvard, she was like a wall back there.
She was great. Yeah, she's the one who kept it, made it a game, because the Gophers had plenty of good chances.
Yeah, but that's a lot of fun to watch. And I had mentioned, even, you know, when Brad was here and Megan, for people who haven't seen it, next year, you got to take this game in, because I think people would get hooked on it. And I'm still amazed that we talked about this a little bit, why no one would broadcast it.
Yeah, well, I do think, I mean, I don't think there's a good defense for not broadcasting. To me, Big Ten Network. This is perfect for Big Ten Network. You know, Big Ten Network is not just about, it's obviously about making money, and they are making a lot of money, but it's also about promoting their conference. And what better way to promote women's sports in your conference to watch Gopher women's hockey win their third national championship in 4 years? I don't understand why the Big Ten Network didn't. Now, other networks, you know, they could make the argument, the very money-based argument, that an NIT game would get better ratings than a women's hockey game. And I understand that. But the Big Ten, I'm not sure there's a good excuse for the Big Ten Network.
No, and particularly when they knew they were guaranteed a team in the national championship game with Wisconsin.
Right.
But here's the other thing, though. Brad explained it to us. CBS has the rights, then it goes to ESPN, then it goes to TBS. Why ESPNU was showing a regular season college baseball game and not a national championship game? Because apparently later in the next few weeks, they're going to be showing the NCAA fencing and bowling, but they couldn't find room for women's hockey. It's amazing to me. But
I agree with you. And you know, college baseball, I like college baseball. I like John Anderson. I like what he's done with that program. But that's a big draw. You know, you're not playing in a large demographic with that, especially when you're putting it against NCAA games. At least with a women's game, you might get women who want to watch women's sports.
Absolutely. But, well, Jim, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune, suhanunfiltered.com. Now, I know who your Friday guest is going to be. Who do you have between then and today and Friday?
So the schedule this week, Tom Liverman here in about an hour at the local.
Yep.
And then Thursday, because of his travel schedule, Thursday at 5 o'clock at the Lithium, Michael Russo. And then Friday at 5 o'clock, an upstart young writer I'm trying to groom named, I think, Bob Sensevier.
Sensevier. So Sid would say.
Sensevier. I just use the pronunciation all the time.
Well, I wish I was young. And hey, but that's not bad. I'm batting third this week. That's a pretty good place in the lineup. Thank you.
Yeah, and then we won't compare you to Joe Mauer. We'll compare you to Curry Puckett.
Jim, as always, we'll talk. Great time talking to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you. All right. We will now take a quick break, and then we'll be back. No, we got a little threesome at 3:40-something we're going to do. Three questions. We'll get the answers if you want to weigh in. 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. Also, you can call in and weigh in because we have something to give away. We have great tickets to give away, and when we get back, you'll find out what they are.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Three, it's a magic number.
Three.
Yeah.
We got an update on Money Dish. This kid is really classy.
Somewhere in that age.
We'll get that to you before there's a threesome. Just it's unbelievable. Yes. We will give you. We talked about this earlier. This guy was our D-bag of the day. This Joey Castleberry. Dope, who plays for Bloomsburg University, kicked off the team after tweeting a ridiculous comment about Moni Davis. She was the star of the Little League World Series. I mean, she great pitcher, great player. Everybody fell in love with this kid. They're actually, and he was responding to Disney is going to make a movie about her. So Castleberry tweets, and this is what got him thrown off the team. Disney is making a movie about Moni Davis, ? All caps, what a joke. Then he says, this is, by the way, a kid that was no more than 12. Maybe she's 13 now, if
that. She turns 14 this year.
She will turn 14. But still, it doesn't matter. At any age, he said, that slut got rocked by Nevada, meaning in the Little League World Series. Now, Moni Davis, I've been impressed by her when I've seen her on TV. She's a young lady. She didn't ask for all this adulation and all this attention coming her way, but she did an interview, and she said she asked Bloomberg officials to reinstate Castleberry. And she said, everyone makes mistakes and everyone deserves a second chance. I think she was a phenomenal, a great pitcher. I know he didn't mean it in the type of way, and I know a lot of people get tired of like seeing me on TV, but just think about what you're doing before you actually do it. I know right now he's really hurt, and I know how hard he worked just to get where he is now, right now. This is a kid who's 13 now. Yeah. Saying something like that. This kid is beyond impressive.
It's very, very big of her.
It is. I mean, yes, she could have condemned it, but I mean, this kid at 13 to show that kind of maturity and forgiveness, and this Casselberry, the dimwit that he is, he was, apparently he's not a bad player. Team's second leading hitter, hit .389, two home runs in six games. He deleted his Twitter account after this, but before he did, he put an apology out, an example that one stupid tweet can ruin someone's life, and I couldn't be more sorry about my actions, he said last night when he posted it. I please ask you to forgive me and truly understand that I am in no way, shape, or form a sexist. Well, we could argue that one there, Joey. And I am a huge fan of Monet. She was quite an inspiration. Well, now, Bloomberg was reached and told the Washington Post that it would not be reinstating Casselberry immediately. Monet Davis, according to Bloomberg, according to the Post and quoting Bloomberg, Monet Davis has reached out to Bloomsburg University asking that Joey Casselberry's dismissal from the team be reconsidered. Her request demonstrates the type of person she is. Absolutely, it does. Her level of maturity and the empathy that her family and coach teach her. Bloomsburg University stands firm on our decision. However, his consequences will be reviewed, as is common in disciplinary actions like this. Again, I'm just so impressed with this kid. Anyway, good for her for handling it with the maturity that she did. Bad for Joey Casselberry. If they reinstate him, fine. If they don't, he acknowledges. I bet he doesn't tweet like that anymore. Smart to eliminate the Twitter account.
Yeah.
Not a bad move on his part. Anyway, we have three, count them, three questions. Let's hear them.
Hey, Bob. It's hey. Mr. X. Mr. I have three questions for you. Number one, now that there's a Sweet 16, have you changed your thoughts about who will win the NCAA tournament?
Well, I would have if I picked Villanova or Virginia or Kansas, but no, I still think it's going to be Kentucky against Duke with those freshmen led by Tyus Jones, Jahlil Okafor. They are going to win it all. They're going to knock off. I don't know that Kentucky's even going to make it to a good chance, but they have to get through. I think they'll get past West Virginia, but they're going to beat the Notre Dame-Wichita State winner, which I don't think will be a cakewalk for them. And then they have to beat, I'm thinking, either Wisconsin or Arizona. I picked Wisconsin, but my brackets mean nothing because I'm horrible at it. I am beating a few people, but nothing to be especially proud of. Beating you, right? Or am I?
I think you are.
And at one. But it's still nothing to be too excited about. Trier's doing pretty good, the laughing hyena there.
Yeah.
Laughing man. He's like in the top, he's second to Jim Rich among people affiliated with the station.
He's laughing at all of us right now.
He's laughing right on down to the place where you stand and say, I kicked your ass.
The bragging shop.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. All right, what do we got for number two question?
Number two. Do you agree with Rick Pitino that high school kids should be able to leap right to the NBA and not attend college for a year?
You know, we touched on this earlier, and our young man and I have a difference of opinion there. I do think that they should be able to go right from high school to the NBA, because a lot of these kids, they're just putting in the time. By the end of the basketball season, they're not going to be going to class. They're going to want those that are good are going to go want to get ready for the NBA draft and the NBA.
Yeah, I think they should keep him for a couple years because it's about protecting the Corleone Youngs and the Jonathan Benders and guys that jump straight to the NBA and only spent 2 or 3 years there.
Here's the thing. They want to make that leap. That's the decision they made. But people make decisions. They're old enough. They're 18. Let them make the decision. If it doesn't work out, let them get a job in the real world like other kids that age have to do.
If I had that kind of talent, I would have made a bad decision and tried to go for it.
Well, so would I. But you know what? The option remains for them to go to school. They can, they can go and get student loans like everybody else does or many other kids do. And if they leap to the NBA, they would also have money, if they didn't piss it away from signing bonuses in a couple years in the league, that they could afford to go back to college and get a degree if that's something that they feel is important to them. So you know what? They made their decisions. They have to live with it. And you don't agree.
No.
You're a silly, never. Silly man. Silly man. What else you got on the docket there?
And finally,
yes.
Are the Wild a legitimate contender for the Stanley Cup? Not just the playoffs, the Stanley Cup?
Well, since they acquired Devan Dubnyk, look at their record. It is the best record in the NHL, 22-6-2. They're fresh off a, well, not fresh, but they're off a 6-3 win over St. Louis. Got a couple of back-to-back games. You got tonight, they're playing at Toronto. Then they're at the Islanders. By the way, also tonight, the Timberwolves at Utah. But back-to-back games at Toronto at New York Islanders. Then they have a few days off, a couple of days, and they got Calgary and the LA Kings back-to-back here. This team has been playing so well. Easy for me to say. They have a league-high 93 goals since they acquired Dubnyk. And it's turned around this team. They have their confidence. They're playing wonderfully.
It's fun to see them beat up on St. Louis, a team that we've struggled with for such a long time.
Well, and that's what I was saying. I don't know if you're the... Do you want to be the... where do you want to be in this thing?
I don't want to face the Ducks. I'd much rather take on St. Louis.
Yeah. So, right, if they stay where they are, they take on St. Louis, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so they got a one-point lead on Winnipeg. So you want to make sure that you wind up facing St. Louis. We want to thank everyone for joining us today. And also, Marsh Hallberg will be with us tomorrow. Kelly in Vegas, at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. She was with us. Be with us later in the week. Thank you again to Brad Frost and Megan Lawrence from the three-time, 3 out of 4 years defending national champion Gophers women's hockey team. Jim Suhan, of course. We are going to turn things over to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup? Or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.